What is up, everyone? KT Unlimited here. Today, I'm back with episode 9 of Shotlocked to Kingdom Hearts. And yeah, like I said, last episode of episode 8, I was going to maybe make another episode. And I'm like, you know, why not? Especially because there actually is more news for Kingdom Hearts. So that's kind of exciting. But sorry if my voice sounds kind of weird. I'm recording this like at 4 a.m. So it may sound worse than usual. But I was up and I'm like, I might as well just record it because I have the time and I'm not really busy with work right now. In terms of anything I need to talk about before getting into the main topics of the show, I did really have a lot of fun recording the last episode, which is why I'm doing another one. And it didn't perform as bad as I thought. It actually did better than I thought for my expectations. So yeah, here's another episode. And if this does better than I think too, then I'll make another one too. So right now we're still on thin ice, but so far it's going pretty good. So we'll go right into our first segment, which is the postings. Also, I try to get like Halloween-y type colors back there. I'm not sure if it's working, but I tried my best. For audio listeners, I have orange and purple lights behind me. So first off, we have the postings, which is a segment where we talk about Kingdom Hearts news. And like I mentioned last week, there was supposed to be some Kingdom Hearts Missing Link news, and they released a teaser trailer. Funnily enough, I completely forgot. I didn't forget, but like I knew they were going to release it sometime this week, but I didn't know if there's going to be a specific time. But I happened to go on YouTube like at 3 a.m., and like I saw the video like the second it was uploaded, luckily. And I was like, cool. So I watched it. And it's called a teaser trailer, but it's quite long, honestly. Actually, let me check. I have my phone right here. But the trailer's a minute and a half. So like, I don't know. In my opinion, that seems like pretty good size. Usually the teasers, I think of being like 30 seconds and a minute 30 was pretty good. And the trailer actually had a lot in it. I'm not going to be like doing some deep analysis or anything. I'm too stupid for that. There's probably a lot of other YouTubers, you know, that can do that a lot better than me. But yeah, if you want that, I'm probably not the place for that. But I'll just be talking about my thoughts and kind of what happened in the trailer. So pretty much they released the trailer on October 30th at 3 a.m. EST. And it was a minute 30, like I mentioned. And it's pretty much just kind of like a quick trailer showing a lot of Kingdom Hearts Missing Link. And it shows some gameplay. It shows some story stuff. And it's funny because in the last episode, I had kind of mentioned how, like, I wish Kingdom Hearts would introduce more new things, like new characters, new story beats, and, like, be less Disney. This trailer is literally what I was asking for. There was, like, I don't think any Disney except for, like, the cards you have during the gameplay, but, like, everything was, like, pure Kingdom Hearts story. We had some new characters. It was really exciting. And one thing that I love about this, and like maybe it's just me not knowing the terms, but I feel like they drop like new terminology on us in this trailer. They mentioned something about drifters. I'm not sure what that means. They drop something about going to the astral plane. That sounds pretty interesting. So they're clearly introducing new concepts in this game, which I'm really excited about because I feel like that's where Kingdom Hearts is best, where it's kind of introducing like new shit to us and we kind of have to like speculate on what's going on. And so it's very exciting being a Kingdom Hearts fan right now because we're kind of getting into this new era of Kingdom Hearts, which makes sense because we are transitioning to Kingdom Hearts 4. And since we're transitioning to Kingdom Hearts 4, we are going to a new saga. So like this is the chance to introduce completely new concepts. And I don't know why I never expected that. Like obviously that makes sense. Like Nomura has a chance to actually show new things, and we're actually getting a chance to see that through this game, I think. Other than those concepts that I talked about, they actually show some new characters, two specifically being, actually, before I get into them, firstly, we have like the main character they keep showing. I'm assuming that's our personal creator character. I'm not sure if they confirmed. If they did, just let me know down in the comments below. But I'm pretty sure the main character they keep showing with kind of like the white clothes and the hat is supposed to be our creator character. And I believe it's supposed to be the reincarnation of our character from Union Cross. I believe that was mentioned before. So we have that character. And other than that, we have two characters that we saw. We have a girl with gray hair and we have a dude with red hair. And yeah, these seem like new characters, which is super cool. And so like, it seems like this might be like a new trio with our character, the girl with gray hair, and the dude with the red hair. So that's something actually I'm pretty excited about. People have been theorizing of who they are already. They think that the girl with gray hair may be like the grandmother of Kyrie, as you know, Twitter. They think that the dude with the red hair may be HMK. It can be anyone, we don't know, but these are two new characters that we have in this trailer. And so like, again, I'm not that good at speculating, but like, it's, to me personally, it's just really exciting when I was watching the trailer that they're actually showing new characters that will probably be of importance in the story. So I'm really excited about that. Another thing they also mentioned was the blank era. That's also another thing. I'm not sure if that's a thing we know. They keep saying like, there's a blank era we're going to try to like reveal or something like that. I'm assuming they might mean like the era of Scarlet Kalem, because this is where the game is going to take place. They showed Scarlet Kalem in the game. And speaking about that, they actually, one thing that was very interesting to me in the trailer is that they showed the town and the actual exploration of town in more detail than I thought. So pretty much the game is going to be like a Pokemon Go type game where it's like GPS based. You get to walk around the town. And they did show that. They showed like pretty much the player kind of like walking in the zoomed out version of the town. You're kind of like going on buildings and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that's probably the most we're going to get of this game. But they also showed like you walking through the town as if it was like a console Kingdom Hearts game. Like you're going like through the merchant shop and stuff. And I'm like, that is something I did not expect at all. So if they actually do have like proper exploration of towns, or at least Galad Kaelum, where you're actually in it as if it's a console game, that's very exciting to me. So I really want to see more of that too, because I know a lot of people have been wanting more of a console experience. And while I didn't expect that, the fact that we might be getting that is actually pretty awesome, especially because we're getting a whole new setting and experience along with it. And just a few more things. We also saw some returning characters. Near the end, we see Brain just standing. We see the back of him. And we also see a Station of Awakening, the stained glass place in Kingdom Hearts with Scald and Ephemer. I'm not sure whose Station of Awakening that is. Maybe it's our characters, but that is something that was also shown in the trailer. But other than that, that was pretty much the contents of the trailer, just in case you hadn't seen it or if you just want to get a refresher on what was there. In terms of details of, you know, when the game's coming out or whatever, they gave a release year, which is 2024. I believe it was originally supposed to come out in 2023, so it obviously was pushed back. But something that I found interesting is that it's just 2024. I would think that at least it would be like early 2024 or winter, as in early 2024 or January something, but it's just 2024 for now. I'm completely cool with that. Like I'm of the opinion, if a game is not ready, just don't even tell us. And like if it's gonna drop like suddenly, just let us know then. We don't really need to have a specific date early on and just for us to be disappointed. So yeah, it's gonna be 2024. That's all we know for now. In terms of the closed beta, it's very interesting because I believe the first beta that they announced before, which only ended up happening in Japan, was supposed to be in North America. Correct me if I'm wrong. And so I thought this closed beta was gonna be in North America for sure, but this one isn't either. It takes place, I believe, in the UK and Australia. And in the trailer, it says you can participate from October 30 to 19th. I think that's a joining period, and I think the beta probably starts after that. I'm gonna be completely honest. I'm in Canada, but I still apply just to see what happens. Because honestly, if this was any other app, they really can't stop me from applying, because I don't think apps are region locked like that. But because this is a GPS-based game, I'm sure I won't be allowed to play, but I still applied nonetheless. I just wanted to see what would happen. But yeah, that is a thing. If you are in the UK or Australia, sign up for it. It seems pretty interesting. And I think that's pretty much it for the postings. It was pretty much the trailer or the teaser trailer for Kingdom Hearts Missing Link. It's very interesting that it was a teaser trailer, because usually when it's a teaser trailer, that means a full trailer may come soon. I don't know if that's something that's going to come soon, or if they just said teaser trailer because it's a shorter trailer. But yeah, it was a teaser trailer, and so maybe there is a more full complete trailer coming at some point in the future, but whenever that is, we'll see. Now, one thing I also did want to mention, if I do continue making more episodes of Shotlocked, is the postings as a segment where I'm supposed to be talking about news probably won't be a segment in every episode. It's kind of obvious why there isn't really Kingdom Hearts news that often. I just got lucky with this episode and last episode where there happened to be news. But if I do record another episode next week or the week after and there's no Kingdom Hearts news, there will not be a posting segment. So that's just something I also wanted to mention. But since we're done with talking about Kingdom Hearts Missing Link, which I'm very hype about, let's move on to the Reflecting Report. So the Reflecting Report is a segment where I talk about a certain aspect of Kingdom Hearts and reflect on it. And today I want to pick a more positive topic. Last episode I talked about there being less Disney, and like listening to the episode again, I feel like it came off a bit negative. That wasn't my intention. I just wanted to like honestly talk about my thoughts about Disney, but it seemed like I was really hating on like what Kingdom Hearts was doing. So like that wasn't my intention. So hopefully this one will be more positive, because I want to talk about something about Kingdom Hearts which I actually really like, and that is the hidden bosses that the Kingdom Hearts games have. So the hidden bosses, I feel like, are such a cool thing in the Kingdom Hearts games. And some examples of this are the Lingering Whale in Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix, the Data Battles in Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix, the Mysterious Figure in Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep. I'd even count Sephiroth in Kingdom Hearts 2. I'm sure there's some in Kingdom Hearts 1. I just don't know that game as well as the other ones. And like these boss fights, I think, at least in my opinion, were like almost like a pillar of my childhood. Because when you were a kid, and like at least for me, when I was a kid and we played games, you know, when you had a game, you have to play that game for a while. It's not like when you were done with the game, you just like bought a new one and you could play it. It's like, no, you had a game, you had to play this honestly for months and months. And so like whenever there was a game that had more content or secret content, I always loved, especially with Kingdom Hearts 2. I have like very like clear memories of me just gliding around the world of Kingdom Hearts 2, trying to like go to every single corner of every world, trying to see, yo, is there another secret I can find? Because I just want to explore every single nook and cranny of this game. And the fact that there were some secrets, the fact that there was a Sephiroth battle and the data battles, and and The Lingering Will. It was just like really fun. When I played as a kid, I played the normal Kingdom Hearts 2 version, Final Mix. I played, you know, like in high school. So when I was a kid, Sephiroth was the main thing that I got to face. And I remember loving the fight. It was so intense. I loved it. And like, I remember it being very hard. These days, I think like when I think I played it on occasion, a minute of a video of me fighting it again, I think I was able to beat it on my first try. So it wasn't as hard as I remembered. But I remember as a kid, it was just the most intense thing. And I feel like something about having hidden bosses, especially them being hard bosses, had a certain spark that kind of was like almost like childlike. I just really liked the games having hidden bosses, and hopefully that is something we get to see more in the future games. Because in Kingdom Hearts 3, they did, I do remember one. I only played Kingdom Hearts 3 once, so my memory on it isn't the best, but I do remember there was one in the Keyblade graveyard, which I did really enjoy. And obviously, actually no, there was another one. They obviously had the Yzora. Actually no, what am I saying? They had the one in the Keyblade graveyard. They had Yzora. They had Data Battle. So Kingdom Hearts 3 had a lot, actually. I think it's because most of them came in the DLC, so I forgot about it. But Kingdom Hearts 3 kept it alive. But it is something I enjoy. And the funny thing about this is something that I would want in the future games. But now that I think about it, is I don't want it for myself. I just want it for like the new generation of fans. Like I mentioned, when I was a kid, those were the things I really loved playing. I loved exploring games for a long time and finding those secrets. And I'm sure the generation now, that isn't a thing they do. I'm sure like they might just like go through games quickly. Whereas we, or at least I, had to play a game for a long time. But like, I'm hoping there's like some audience that still kind of has that childlike wonder where they're exploring and trying to find a secret boss, and that's there for them. Because I believe I mentioned this maybe on the podcast or one of my older videos, I'm an old man at this point in terms of gaming. Like, I'm just really bad at games. Every game I play is on easy mode if it's like a real-time combat game. So Kingdom Hearts 3 I played on beginner, Final Fantasy 16, like, actually that doesn't have difficulty, but like if there's a difficulty mode, I will usually play on easy if it's a real-time combat game. If it's turn-based, I'll keep it on normal because that's kind of more of a thinky game. But if it's a real-time combat game, I just don't have the patience to fight a boss more than once. So usually when I'm playing a real-time combat game, and if I fight a boss and I die, I'll probably try a couple more times. But if I keep dying in the game, like even if the game is like, if the game is moderately fun, I'll try for a bit. But if it's like being to the point where it's kind of unfair, or where I would have to really try hard and memorize the patterns of the boss, I will probably just drop the game, or at least put it down for a while and come back to it. And so that's just who I am now. The only times I will actually come back is if I think the boss is actually designed very well and that I'm losing because of me, not because I think it's cheap and I have to just learn the patterns to win. Because if a boss fight is just me needing to memorize patterns, I think that's boring. This is going to sound kind of pretentious maybe, but like my favorite boss fights, and when I play games on like the default mode or the easy mode or whatever, I like thinking of it in the perspective of me being the hero, and as if I'm actually playing through the battle, like as if it's real life. And what I mean is, like, for the main character, when they're fighting the boss fight, they don't actually die. Obviously they're not dying. They have to fight this boss fight. They're getting attacked. They have to adapt to whatever the boss is doing, and at the end of the day, they have to win to continue the story. And so whenever I play games and I'm able to do that, I'm able to fight the boss fight, I'm seeing it for the first time and I'm adapting to its patterns and I beat it, it feels kind of good. It feels kind of satisfying because I'm like, yeah, that's what the main character had to do. Obviously, they wouldn't have died, and obviously they wouldn't have time to memorize their patterns by doing multiple attempts. No, they would have to beat the boss on their first try. And so that's kind of the experience I like. And the way this tangent connects to Kingdom Hearts is because usually with Kingdom Hearts bosses, they're never like that. You're never actually able to beat them in your first try, and you actually have to fight them multiple times to beat them. And pretty much the reason I kind of said this entire story is because this point, while I really want this to be there for kind of like the next generation of Kingdom Hearts fans, it's not for me, because I'm probably not going to be fighting these bosses. I'm just being honest, they're usually too hard for me. Like I mentioned, I played Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Mix when I was in high school, and at that point I was already kind of waning in terms of my skill. And when it came to me fighting the Lingering Will, I just wasn't able to beat it, and it was just too hard for me. And at that point, I just didn't beat it, and I just never did that. Kingdom Hearts 3, I believe I was able to beat the Data Battle somehow, because I was playing on the easy mode. Yzora, I wasn't able to beat. I dropped that too. Like, I don't feel the need to beat them anymore. And if I die enough times, I'm like, yeah, that's good. I got the experience and that's all. So if these hidden bosses stay in Kingdom Hearts, which I hope they do, hopefully they are still equally as hard. And even though I know I won't be able to beat them, hopefully there are other people and maybe a new generation of Kingdom Hearts fans which will enjoy them. And that's pretty much all I have to say about Reflecting Report. Hopefully that wasn't too rambly. I'll try to edit that down so it's not. But let's move on to Dream Drive. So this is Dream Dive, where I talk about a dream that I want in the future of Kingdom Hearts. And today, something that I want to talk about is kind of a loose concept, but something that I just thought about after recording Shot Locked Episode 8. And it's related to the Disney topic that I talked about last time, where I talked about Disney, how I kind of want less Disney and blah, 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 how it's not really attached to the main story of Kingdom Hearts and feels very disparate. And something that I thought about is, it would be cool if what they start doing with the Disney worlds, and they do this to some extent, but what I would want is if they started having more continuity with Disney worlds. Now, what I mean by that is, like I mentioned in my last episode, if you didn't watch or listen to it, what I talked about is how the Disney world seemed very separate from the Kingdom Hearts main story, where like you can like take out all the Disney worlds and you probably still get the Kingdom Hearts plot, especially if you look at something like Kingdom Hearts 3. And so something I want is them to connect the Disney worlds more to the Kingdom Hearts plot. And however they do that, I'm not sure. But one idea I had is it'd be cool if they had more continuity. So my idea with that was, for example, say we're in Kingdom Hearts 4 and they add a few more new Disney worlds. And those Disney worlds, they can do what they always do. It's kind of like an advertisement for the movie. You kind of play through the movie and it's fun and you do the movie's plot in Kingdom Hearts. That's cool and all. But if we're going back to a world that we've already been to, it'd be cool if they kind of loop them in to the Kingdom Hearts plot. Like, for example, say we go back to Pride Lands and we go back and Simba's like, yo, Sora, what's up, man? And you like kind of meet up with Simba again. It'd be cool if they were helping us with the Kingdom Hearts main plot, whether that be through us summoning them through the sound mechanic or what. But I would like it if they're actually connected and help us with, say, like we're in Pride Lands and then we have to find an Organization 13 member or whatever the equivalent is going to be in Kingdom Hearts 4, and they're helping us do that. Like, we're not doing any bullshit or trying to face Scar or anything. It's like, no, Simba and Nala and Timon and Pumbaa or whoever are helping us going forward with the plot of Kingdom Hearts. And I feel like that would make sense with the worlds we've already been in, because we already built a rapport with the characters. So for example, with Pride Lands, Simba knows us. We've hung out with him a lot. I believe Simba was also in Kingdom Hearts 1, maybe? If not, it was in Kingdom Hearts 2. And so, like, we know Simba. And so the fact that we can be like, yo, like, this is what we're going through. And, like, I feel like there should be more of an... Like, I know in Kingdom Hearts 2, the whole thing was, like, we're coming in these worlds. We're not allowed to let people know that we're not a part of this world and we have to blend in. Hopefully, with worlds we've already been in, we can kind of be like, okay, look, I'm Sora. I'm a Keyblade Builder. This is what we're doing. Can you help us out? I would feel like that'd be a cooler thing, because I noticed with other JRPGs and like an anime too, where JRPGs kind of base themselves off of sometimes, there's this huge aspect where like, we're going to build a team. We're going to build a team and try to fight the bad guy. That's kind of usually what JRPGs or anime lead up to. You see that all the time, where like throughout the story, you kind of, you know, go to different towns or whatever, meet these people. And then by the end, you bring every single party member you've ever had and you kind of team up to beat the big bad. And Kingdom Hearts is kind of like that with the original characters. You kind of saw that with KH3, where like everyone's with you. You have like Ven, Aqua, Roxas, Sora, Riku, whoever, like everyone's with you. So it'd be cool if they want to connect the Disney worlds more, that like imagine that same crew, but Simba's there, Mulan is there, Ariel is somehow there. But imagine like these Disney characters being there too. Like that'd be a very cool way, in my opinion, to bring Disney more to the forefront of the games, where at that point, I'd be like, hell yeah, bring more Disney into it. Like, imagine, like, those people that Sora knows, he actually brought them into the Kingdom Hearts plot, and they actually help you with the main story. I think that's super cool. And like I mentioned, we do get a bit of that. I think the world that we see this with the most is Olympus Coliseum. Kingdom Hearts 3 actually starts with us going to Olympus Coliseum for Sora to kind of get his mojo back, where he's kind of depressed at the start. And that's kind of like a step in the right direction, where like we're not going to Olympus Coliseum to like solve a movie plot, even though we kind of do end up like fighting the big titans. The motivation is there, where like we're going there for a specific reason of getting Sora back to top form. So if we can go a step further and go to these worlds for the specific intent of them helping us with defeating Organization 13 or the Foretellers or whatever it may be, I think that would be super cool and super interesting. And from a gameplay point of view, that can just be summons. But like, I can think of like super cool climactic moments. Like say you're like at the end and you're fighting the final big bad group, whatever it may be. Like maybe there's a fight like you're fighting with, it's like Sora and Simba and like Timon and Pumbaa. You're fighting one person, and then like it cuts to Roxas with like Mulan and Hercules fighting another bad guy. And like having like a true mix of Square Enix. You know what? Throw in Final Fantasy there too. Bring Cloud, Noctis, or Clive there, and bring Disney characters. Having a true mix of that, I feel like that would truly be Kingdom Hearts, because like I mentioned last episode, it felt very complainy of me trying to say like there should be less Disney in the Kingdom Hearts games. But I think my problem was is because Disney always felt disparate from the main Kingdom Hearts story. But if they do something like this, bring Disney. I don't give a shit. Bring even more Disney. If they can actually help with the main plot of Kingdom Hearts and really help it push forward and have them kind of create a group with Sora and everyone and be in on the plot, like, why wouldn't I like that? That seems pretty cool. And that's just something I think that would be cool as a future dream in Kingdom Hearts. Now, will they do that? I think they might, honestly. Like, usually with my dream dive, I say, like, they won't do whatever I said, but, like, I don't see why they wouldn't do this. The only reason I would see that they wouldn't do this is, like, if the Disney part of Kingdom Hearts, like, wouldn't want this, like, they wouldn't want Hercules helping Sora fight Xehanort or whatever the hell it may be. I'm not sure if why they wouldn't let that happen with how the games have already gone, but, like, I really think this is a smart way for them to incorporate Disney to be a more important part of Kingdom Hearts and feel like a way where people who are kind of waning on the Disney part of Kingdom Hearts to kind of pull it back and be like, no, Disney is very important to Kingdom Hearts and really show why they're part of the games in the first place. And so, yeah, that's my opinion. If you guys have opinions on how Disney can be a more important part of Kingdom Hearts, let me know. I just thought that continuity with Disney Worlds was just a very smart way to bring Disney more to the forefront of the games, where, like, if you have more continuity between the worlds and you rope them into the plot, it would make them a lot better, in my opinion. But yeah, that was Dream Dive. And now we're going to go into our last segment, which is Kingdom Countdown. Kingdom Countdown is the last, more lighthearted segment of this podcast, where I pretty much just go through a top list of Kingdom Hearts and give you my reasons on why my list is like that. And today, I thought a fun topic would be is talking about my top Kingdom Hearts enemy types. I believe I might have made a video on this a long time ago, but, like, I don't know how I ranked it at that point, and, like, it's been a long time, so, you know what, might as well do it. And so the four that I'm going to be talking about, the four main ones that I remember are Nobody's, Dream Eaters, Heartless, and Unversed. Those are the four that I know. Now, with number four, I'm going to go with the homies Dream Eaters. Now, Dream Eaters are probably the only ones I would say that I don't dislike, but, like, I don't really like them either. Like, they're okay to me, like, they're whatever. Like, I remember when Dream Drop Distance was first revealed and they showed the Dream Eaters, I was kind of like, like, I remember, like, Heartless is something I really love. The concept is cool, the designs are cool. Nobody's I thought were pretty dope. Unversed I thought were pretty dope, but, like, when I saw, like, Dream Eaters and there were these kind of, like, nice looking stuffed animal looking creatures, I was like, this is, like, okay. And obviously, I know there's two types. There's, like, the bad types, too, which look more, like, traditional, like, Heartless, kind of. They're still, like, pretty Dream Eater-y. I just thought they were okay. The concept, too, is, like, to me, is, like, whatever, because, you know, all the anime types also have, like, a concept of what they actually are in-universe. And I believe the Dream Eaters are literally Dream Eaters that eat dreams. I think the good ones eat nightmares, and the bad ones eat good dreams, and maybe both. And so there isn't, like, too much to say. I just don't really like the designs. I don't really like the concept. Like, it's cool that, like, it is an enemy type that also has a good version that teams up with Sora. I do like that aspect of it. In terms of overall design and concept compared to the other ones, I do think it's the weakest of the four. So that's why Dream Eaters comes at number four. So at number three, this one was actually hard because the other three I actually like a lot. The concepts and the designs. But for number three, I'm going to put Unversed. Now, the reason I'm going to put it at number three is funny because in terms of concept, what the Unversed are, I actually like it the best. Unversed are kind of like these negative emotions and they pretty much physicalize into Unversed. That's pretty much what they are. And I believe in, like, I'm not sure if this is canon in the games or this was just in the light novel, but they're supposed to be kind of like the negative emotions, like, and it's kind of connected to, like, Vanitas in some way. And so the concept, I think, is one of the coolest ones. And it's something you see, like, all the time in, like, in JRPGs and anime, like, for example, Jujutsu Kaisen, I think it's, like, the exact same thing with curses being, like, negative emotions of people. So in terms of concept, I really like Unversed. The only weak point to me in a certain way is the design. I do like the designs overall. I think they look cool. But, like, the only weakness, I think, is, funnily enough, I think the weakness is because of it being on the PSP. I think because Birth by Sleep was on the PSP, which is the game where Unversed were in, they had to simplify the designs a bit. And so because of that, I think they weren't able to go as hard compared to, like, Heartless or Nobody's. And so that's literally the only reason they're number three. If they had, like, the design level as Heartless and Nobody's, they would easily be number one because their concept I actually like better than Heartless and Nobody's. That's why Unversed come at number three for me. At number two, we have Heartless. And the reason Heartless is at number two is, honestly, Heartless and Nobody's, I like both of them. I like their concept. I like, you know, Heartless being, you know, when someone loses their heart, they get encroached by the darkness, and the Nobody's kind of like the body and mind left behind and stuff. I think both of them have, like, top-rate designs, and Heartless is cool, I'm just going to be talking about number two and one at the same time because, like, obviously you know what number one is. The reason Heartless didn't make it to number one is because I think design-wise, nobody's inches a bit above than Heartless. Nobody's kind of has this more, like, light design. Heartless has this more dark design. But there's a certain, like, creepiness to Nobody's. I don't know what it is. Like, the way they move. And I remember as a kid, I could never tell what they were, like, material-wise. Like, Heartless, you kind of imagine as, like, darkness and shadowy and kind of like almost like puddles of goo, but like Nobody's, I could never tell what they were. Like the Dusk Nobody, for example, I when I was a kid I was like, what the hell is this? Like, your mouth is a zipper, you seem like this slippery silver thing, you move all weird, and like when you're playing as Roxas and you're able to reversal, they left these weird like tracer things. Like, I could never tell what the hell was going on when looking at Nobody, and so like there's something weird and like almost magical about them when I first saw them as a kid. And to this day, like, I think the Nobody designs are just, like, top-notch. They have, like, a lot of cool ones. They have, like, the Dancer Nobody in Kingdom Hearts 2. They have, like, a bunch of Nobodies. They have the Twilight Thorn, which I think is cooler than the, I believe it's called the Dark Side Heartless, the big one. And so, just all that together, I think the Nobodies just... I think not only are the designs better, I think the concept of Nobodies are slightly cooler, too. Obviously, the concept of Heartless and Nobodies kind of go hand-in-hand. But the fact that it's kind of, like, the bodies and mind left over from when someone becomes a Heartless, I think is a cool concept. And the fact that like the Organization 13 are all Nobodies, I think is even cooler when you kind of figure that out. So because of all that, I think Heartless comes at number two and Nobodies comes at number one. That brings us to the end of Shot Locked episode 9. Hopefully you enjoyed watching and or listening to this podcast. If you are watching this episode, you can listen to this episode on all the podcast services. Hopefully if you are listening to this episode, I also make a video version where you can see me talking for some reason if you want to on my YouTube channel, KH Unlimited. And yeah, that was episode 9. Hopefully you enjoyed. I'm very sorry about my voice. I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to edit it, all of it out, but my voice is very crackly right now because it's, I guess, because it's near 5 a.m. at this point. And so, like, usually when my voice cracks, I just cut a lot of it out. But, like, right now, I was like, cracking, like, every two sentences. So if that happened, if that's in the actual episode, I'm very sorry about that. But, yeah, that was episode 9. Hopefully you enjoyed. Hopefully, if this performs well enough, I'll be back for episode 10, because honestly I am enjoying doing this other than the other editing I do for the other YouTube channels that I work on, but this is more of a passion project of mine, KH Unlimited, at this point. So yeah, hope to see you guys next time.